Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, co-founder, and CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know us, we're your friendly HR analytics dashboard, helping all HR and people operations leaders become smarter and more data-driven. How do we do that? Simple. We know that when you try to do your reporting today, a lot of times, a lot of you will pull messy, crappy spreadsheets from a lot of your different HR systems and try to turn that into something nice and beautiful and insightful and actionable. But the truth is, we know a lot of you out there really struggle with that. So that's why we've built this HR analytics dashboard that has connections to all of the most popular HR systems that are really working with companies under 1,000 employees. So your Bamboo HR, Namely, Zenefits, Appling, Greenhouse, blah, 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 to be able to bring all that data into one real-time, streamlined, beautiful HR analytics dashboard for you. But that's enough about me and our awesome product, because today is very special. We are kicking off our new series called HR in the Tech Space, where we interview awesome HR and people ops leaders that are working at pretty cool tech companies. So if you all could please help me welcome to the podcast Maya Ram. She is the head of talent at Bluevine. Maya, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Maya!
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Great. Thanks you. Thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. So even though we're kicking off this new series, I would love to start the show off with the same question we always ask, because it's so interesting since so many people end up here in so many different ways. And that question is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Well, yeah, definitely a great question to start. I'm sure that a lot of people have their paths to HR, and no one is similar to another. So for me, I think I was always fascinated about organizations, so especially the ones that made some impact. And even though I started my college more on the finance side, I learned that I'm more passionate about people than the actual numbers. So during my MBA, I was focusing on organizational development, and which led me to be as organization consultant in many companies. Basically, this is how I started, you know, just entering to HR.
Got it. So in order for us to really talk about what it's like to work in HR in the tech space, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about Bluevine, what it does, how many employees do you have, where you're located. All of that would be great.
Okay, sure. I'll be happy to. So currently I'm at Bluevine. We are a startup in the fintech hot space, located in Redwood City, Bay Area. And we basically offer a fast and easy platform for small businesses to get financed. So we are helping small and medium businesses grow through the service that we provide them. And we were established about 6 years ago. And since then, the company has been growing really fast. Today, we are about more than 300 employees globally.
Got it. So, HR in the tech space. What I would like to do is to break this up into a few different sections. The first is, what do you think is great about working in HR, particularly in the tech space? And if you have some cons too, then we can throw those in there. The next is, how do you think it's different from working in other companies within HR. And then I really would like to talk about, because there's so many issues that are coming up with tech companies, whether it's data privacy or the lack of gender parity and men and women getting paid the same or diversity. There's so many different issues. I would like to talk about, what do you think is the responsibility of HR to make the tech scene better and tech and software companies better? And what do you think it will take to do that?
Got you. So yeah, totally two different subjects. So let me start with the first one, which is like just how is to be an HR in tech.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, so when you say tech, I actually, there is a lot of tech companies, especially here in the Silicon Valley. And I would love to share a little bit about my experience, which is working with startups. So startups, you know, will be a little bit different from bigger companies that are already established and have all system processes, talent in place. And what I found out through my years of being an HR and people operation in this space is that companies that are, you know, just starting, they have a great idea. Maybe they were lucky to get, you know, some funding to grow. And then the big pain there is, I would say, not a challenge, is to get those great people. And usually most of the startups that I worked with, that was the main challenge. They had to grow. In order to grow, they have to hire people. And not only just, you know, people, they have to have the super, you know, A players, talented people that can actually, you know, work in this new startup and make it a success. But when it comes to hiring people or talent, it is sometimes very challenging because no one actually maybe heard about this company before. Maybe the processes, the HR processes are not in place. For example, like trying to hire a VP of sales, but no one actually thought about what is a VP of sales in this startup. So like, is there a job description? Do we know what we want? Do we know who will be interviewing? Do we know how much he will get paid? And those things are kind of fluid in startups. And I think the big challenge there is to understand what this startup needs and what systems, maybe, which is like the word systems sometimes are not in line with what startups are looking for, but how can we help the company grow?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I found with working with different companies across multiple industries is that tech companies, or particularly startups, will hire people in HR or people operations much earlier than other companies. Is that because the company hasn't taken shape yet and it's growing so fast at an early stage that there needs to be an HR person there to really help think through who to hire, when to hire, and why? Or is a lot of that still driven from the CEO and founders and HR is there more as a support role?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I actually found out in the last two startups that I worked with is that when they say they need HR person, they don't really know what they actually need. Do they need someone that will be a recruiter? Or do they need someone that will, you know, work on the benefits of the employee or the employer branding or on compliance issues? So sometimes, or I will say like most of the times when the first HR hire, they're looking to have someone that can do it all. So it should be, they're looking for a person that, you know, knows and has experience with recruiting and interviewing and things like that, but also a person that can wear multiple hats. And if the company is growing that fast and they need to move to a bigger space, maybe this will be the person that will help with that. Or sometimes they don't have a lot of office things in place. And then I saw that the company is tending to put the HR under operations or under office management. So basically, they're looking for this person that can do it all.
Got it. And another trend that I'm seeing in the, not just me, but a lot of people are seeing in the tech and startup space is that a lot of times you won't see traditional HR titles, but you'll see roles like people and culture, head of people, chief people officer, people manager. What's the real difference? Because I'm sure a lot of HR leaders outside of tech still have very traditional CHRO roles, HR manager, HR associate, HR assistant. Outside of semantics, is there a true difference between a people operations role and mindset versus a traditional HR role and title?
Totally. So I think as the first HR hire in startup, I would say that this is more of an HR operation role because there are a lot of things that this person needs to do in order to establish processes and procedures and set up systems. For example, you know, just like implementing an application tracking system for the first time. A traditional HR that comes from a bigger company, they're usually more focused on their specific areas. So there will be someone that in a bigger company that has employment experience, and there is someone in the company that will be a recruiter, and there will be someone in the company that will be focusing on employee relations. So when someone that is, let's say, comes from a company that was doing specific HR, employee relations or something like that, comes to a startup, maybe he doesn't have all the skills that needed in order for that startup to grow. From my experience, most of the startups are looking first to someone that can wear a multiple hats, but also be a very, very, very good recruiter.
Mm, got it. So does that mean that when you work in a startup in an HR or people ops role that you should and you really need to truly understand the business?
Mm-hmm.
And does that mean you need to understand the business more so than if you were in an already established HR department?
Yes. I think that this person needs to understand what the business needs. What are they looking to do, this year in order to grow? And then kind of make some kind of analysis to see what are the needs and where, how we can see this HR person, what will be his job description? What will be his duties? Because we can't do everything in one person. What we're actually doing now, for example, in Bluevine, once the company, we just this year hired more than 100 people, like in just 1 year. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. So once the company, comes to a size like that, our HR team is also different. So we have a team of talent, we have a team of HR, and we have a team of places. Altogether, like they're under the bigger umbrella of HR, but everyone has a specific expertise. And as the company is growing, for your previous question, yes, sometimes we have to bring, maybe a C-level executive to oversee all these operations. And another thing that I see a lot here and also from Bluevine is that we can't really scale without all those systems in place. And there is a big crucial, HR part of being able to analyze what kind of things we need to do and what systems will provide us with that in order for us to be really competitive. We couldn't do those 100 people, more than 100, but hires, if we didn't have a really good application tracking system, or if we didn't have a really good employee branding. And in order to have that and to understand where is, you know, how can we do it better? How can we actually make those hires? We need to use analytics.
Thanks for the plug.
No, definitely. I can tell you that only when I was actually part of me being in the talent space now, I see that there are definitely a lot of insights that I can actually get from a simple application tracking system if I know how to use the data correctly.
Nice. So now let's move into, and you've already teed this up for me, but the difference between working in tech or a startup and non-tech companies, whether they have unions or they're nonprofits or an education, and or it's blue collar or hourly, even though some tech companies have hourly, but most don't. What are some of the biggest differences that you see between the two?
Honestly, I was mostly, in my career, I was mostly on tech companies, but you know, as I seen and I'm familiar with other industries, there is other needs. I saw that, for example, non-tech companies usually have a very stable growth, and they have other concerns or challenges that they need to focus on. So if they don't have the growth, which is like the main challenge that we have in growing startups, they probably have, you know, to focus on other areas, which is, you know, maybe union, maybe employee relations, maybe compliance. And it's totally different expertise.
And that brings me to another question. In a lot of other companies, like you said, things can become really predictable. But in tech, as I know all too well, there's a lack of predictability, especially when it comes to headcount planning and how fast you're going to grow. And all of a sudden you get a new round of funding and then you need to hire more people. So how do you deal with that in HR, knowing that that's primarily your responsibility and that can happen at any given moment?
Right. That's a great question. And as you said, you actually said, there is no way that, you know, the CEO will come to the talent team and say, hey, okay, we got funding now and we have to hire 30 more people in 1 month. I mean, that happens. I know it happens, but it is almost impossible to set the team up to success. And so what we do, and I know, you know, even in a smaller, even smaller startups, the headcount planning is crucial for the success of the talent team. We need to know in advance, as much as we can, what are the business plans. So if, let's say, one of our goals as a company is really like, what we have a few goals of the CEO. One of them is hire great people. So if the CEO comes, you know, says, okay, I will think we will probably hire 10 more people. Me as a head of talent, I need to come back to him and say, like, if one of our goals is to hire, continue hiring great people, how can we, you know, actually do that if it's not in line with the headcount? So there should be some kind of consistent between the company goals and the need to hire. So if we have a new business line, which we do, how are we going to support that? If there is a new business line, we probably will need to hire more developers and more and product managers and more sales and, you know, so on. So I think as a talent leader in any company, tech, non-tech, startup, non-startup, you have to be really in the business to understand what it means in terms of your goals. So if there is a new business line coming up next quarter, like, I don't see that the plan to hire only 30 more people is actually realistic. And I need to come back to him and, you know, say what I think. And that the team needs to be ready because, again, I can give you an example. So just for this year, in order to hire 100 people, we had to go into more than 17,000 CVs.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. And from those CVs, we had come up with people that actually are qualified for the job and could come for an interview. So that was about 1,700 people out of the 16,000. Those 1,700 interviews ended up with those 100 hires. So just imagine, you know, the volume of that. Again, if you have the data to show the leaders the volume of the work that a talent team needs to, you know, do in order to get those hires, that's for me is a win because this is data that I can show him that this is the resource that we need. In order to do that, we have to be prepared and, you know, to predict the headcount in for a year, you know, not only like for a month. And that it's not a process that it just like hit and run. It is a big process that needs to be established, and the team needs to be established before we actually do that.
Interesting. So interesting. And now I want to transition into some of the issues that are plaguing, might be too strong of a word, but some of the issues and negative perceptions that people have of the tech space. What are some of the ones that you think are really problematic? And what do you think the role of HR or people ops is to help change that?
So I noticed that a lot of candidates that we are speaking with think that startups are either like non-stop working hours and everybody's all over the place with no processes, with no plans. So that's one thing that I like some of the candidates are asking about. Like for them, working in a startup will be like, this is my life commitment. I will have no life. And the other end, there are people that think that it's like, you know, they think about all the perks and benefits that the company has, like lunches and basketball practices and yoga and whatever you name it. And they think it's like, hey, I'm coming to this tech startup and I will have the fun of my life. And don't I want, right? The food is something in the middle. When we look for people, and when I try to find people that are good for my company, I'm trying to find the people that are really passionate about small businesses or are really passionate about the product that is super smart and innovative, or they really want to make a change. Those people like will be a better fit to the team.
That was awesome. So what would your advice be for anyone that doesn't work in tech or at a startup, but they work in HR and they're looking to break into this space? Because it seems like it's the space where all the HR and people ops cool kids are looking to move to. Mm-hmm. What would your advice be?
The first advice will be think about why do you want to make a move? So, you know, what is the move? If you are in HR, why do you want to make a move to tech? Because you are interested in working in a different space, a different environment, different people. You need to know that it might require you, you know, to learn some new skills that are not something you've done before. So again, from the recruiting world, if you have experience with recruiting salespeople, it will be really hard to make a shift and learn how to recruit developers. But it's so easy if you want to do that. First thing I will always say, find someone like a mentor that works, like find someone that does the job that you want to do and approach them for, maybe mentoring, maybe just a short 30 minutes call. you can gather some people that will be so happy to help and get those ideas out. And listening, you know, to a lot of things that are out there, like podcasts and interviews and talks that from people that are working in the space to get an understanding of what you are getting into. And the last thing is, it's actually something I just recently had a conversation with a colleague that moved out from the Bay Area to another place, but she was really struggling to find a job in a tech company just because, like, there is not such a lot of tech companies in that area. So also be mindful that about that. You have to maybe look or work in, you know, in a different place. So yeah, that's what I think. I think that you need to know what you want to do, why you want to do that, and also find someone that will get you there with mentorship.
Thank you for that. So now we're going to move to my favorite part of the podcast, which I like to call the real, the random, and the ridiculous. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. The real question. Do you like to eat bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
Oh my God. Bread pudding is like my favorite dessert.
Oh, we're going to be best friends.
Oh my God. Yeah. And so, yeah, I can tell you after that where I found the best bread pudding, but I will leave it for now with myself. So, yeah, bread pudding, preferably something with chocolate in it.
Chocolate in it or chocolate sauce?
No, actually, like baked with chocolate in it.
Ah, that sounds amazing. Okay, so, you know, sometimes... And it's probably very hard to believe, but sometimes people do break my heart and say they don't like it. And I've threatened to stop the interview at that point. But I said, no, it's okay. It's okay. We'll bring you around.
Totally. Like, as someone that, like, actually loves bread pudding, I think it's actually a good question that I need to adopt when I'm actually, like, maybe interviewing for my team. Like, no way.
I'll take credit for that.
Okay.
Cool. That's cool. Okay, the random question. What do you think is the most random part of HR when you're working in a tech company or a startup?
What do you mean by random? Like,
What are some of the most surprising things that you just wouldn't have thought that you needed to deal with? So I'll give you an example. On another podcast, someone had talked to me about knowing that people love their snacks, mm-hmm. but she didn't think it was going to be to the point where people were getting upset about them mm-hmm. and saying it's not enough, or the variety of LaCroix in the office, and realizing that she was going to have to deal with that. So I don't know if there's anything like that that's super random.
Yes, totally. I can think of some examples. I think the recent one is that we had, I get so many questions about, like, culture, like how it's working, how is to work in this company, and what is the culture like? And surprisingly, a lot of people are looking for a place that they can bring their best friend into. So a dog-friendly office is, like, it's very high valued in the Bay Area. And it was a surprise to me, you know, just because I didn't realize how many, people actually care about that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I was also surprised to find out that it's actually really great to work in a place which is, like, dog-friendly, because it connects between the people. So in Blue Vine, we are, for example, like, dog-friendly office, and with all the troubles that it, you know, sometimes can cause, like, cleaning carpets or, you know, people that are afraid from specific dogs, still, there is a big, it's a conversation starter, which is I like it. Like, people connect with each other over this, this best friend.
That's awesome. And then my last ridiculous question, and you touched on this a little bit, but I would like you to expand if possible. What is one of the most ridiculous reasons why you think people want to work in the startup space?
Actually, I think it's, I don't know if it's, you know, if it's ridiculous, but I will think about people that are actually trying to establish their own startup. It is crazy for me. Like, I have been speaking with some people that went into the journey of becoming, setting up their own startup from an idea that they had. And it is crazy what they have to go through and how much they need to sacrifice in order to be a founder in a startup. And surprisingly, a lot of people do that, but most of the startups actually fail. And it's really interesting to see like what motivates those people to do that. And well, and again, thanks to them, there is so many great companies, right? We need those people. So that's one thing that like ridiculously, I heard about people that were leaving their apartment to live in some kind of a basement so they don't need to pay rent, and then eat from, you know, from a specific shelter to get free food. Like some crazy stories about how you can actually get your company going.
Takes a lot of sacrifice. I know that personally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It takes a lot. It takes a lot. But thank you so much for kicking off this series for us. It's really important to us because we get so many people who really want people to pull back the curtain on what it's look like, what it looks like to work in HR in the tech space. So Maya, thank you so much. You've been such an awesome podcast guest.
Maya! Woo!
Thank you so much. And I really want to invite anyone that listened to this podcast and is interested about how is HR in tech, just reach out to me.
Great. How can people find you and Bluevine online?
So we have our website. If anyone is interested, there is a lot of career opportunity right now. And I am there like in LinkedIn. Everyone can reach out.
Great. Thanks for that. And we'll definitely put all your information and contact in the show notes. So everyone out there, thank you so much for listening to the Employee Cycle Podcast again. We really appreciate you because we would be nothing without your listenership. If you enjoy this podcast just as much as I did, and I'm sure Maya did as well, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Google Reviews, wherever you find yourself leaving ratings. Also, if this is your first Employee Cycle Podcast you're ever listening to, and you're just listening because either you are already a super fan of Maya and you just want to hear anything she has to say, or you found us because you thought that the topic was really compelling, but now you're hungry for more great podcasts, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you're listening to podcasts. And last but not least, HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.
This episode of the Employee Cycle Podcast was edited and produced by Lux Podcast Production. Lux is a creative audio suite that helps clients create, market, and measure their show. Visit luxpodcasts.com to learn how a podcast can benefit your organization. That's LUXE podcasts.com.